So it's my pleasure to be here to speak the word of God. You know what's amazing thing about God? That he allowed a human being to speak about him. He could allow angel to speak about him. But guess what? He allowed a defective human being to speak about him. So it's amazing to get this opportunity to speak about him. That's what Cape Verde is. Right there on the west coast of Africa. So the little tiny island, right? It's 10 island. Yes. And if you're from the Caribbean, actually that's where the storm starts and it goes to the Caribbean. You know, we don't get the hurricane. You know, so every time I introduce myself, they'll be like, oh, so you're the one that's in the storm. I was like, nope, we're not the one. So that's the 10 island. I'm from the island of Fogo, which means fire because we have a volcano, active volcano there. So that's where actually I'm from. It's a beautiful island, but I'm not talking about Cape Verde today. Our message today is, it is finished. But before we get to the message, I'd like to read this passage here because as we enter to the house of God, I think... it's vital we should read this and prepare our hearts and while we're here and also to pray. It says, as you enter the place of worship, ask the Lord to remove all evil from your heart. It says, bring to his house only that which he can bless. It says, kneel before God in his temple and consecrate to him his own, which he has purchased with the blood of Christ. It says, pray for the speaker or the leader of the meeting. It says, pray that great blessing may come through the one who is to hold the word of life. It says, strive earnestly to lay hold of a blessing for yourself. Friends, while I'm speaking, that you pray for me. And as well that you pray for yourself that you strive earnestly to lay hold of a blessing for yourself. Before we start, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that you give us to open your word. As we open your word, Lord, I ask that you may open us, that we may understand the divine scripture. So we ask for your Holy Spirit, Lord. That each one of us in this congregation, Lord, that we all can be blessed by your word. We thank you for all you have done in our life. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Like I said, our title is, It Is Finished. In the book of Matthew chapter 24, we have this commission, or it says, in the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And when we go to Romans 1:16, if you have your Bible, you're going to see scripture a lot, but not the verse, because I like for us to open our Bible. Romans chapter 1, it's a verse that we're familiar with. Verse 16, it says, if you're there, say amen. Okay, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is power of God unto salvation for everyone that believed, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we are told to preach the gospel, right? And also it states here that the gospel is power. My question is, what is the gospel? I like to ask questions. So what is the gospel? Because if we don't know what is the gospel, how do we know it has power or what we deliver to the people? So what is the gospel? The good news of Jesus. What else? What else? Salvation. Friends, listen to this. It says, hang up on the cross. Christ was the gospel. It says, this is our message, our arguments, our doctrine, our warning to the impenitent, or our encouragement for the sorrowing, the hope for every believer. So what is the gospel? Christ hang up on the cross was the gospel, friends. And as we continue, it says, the preaching of Christ crucified has been strangely neglected by our people. Why? It says, many who claim to believe the truth have no knowledge of faith in Christ by experience. It says, it is this neglect part of the ministry which will be what? Found the great instrument in the conversion of souls and in leading to the high standard of holiness, it's which every church needs in order to become what? So are we a dead church? So how can we become a living church? The preaching of Christ crucified, friend. You're going to see the power of the cross, friends. And she says in this statement here, it says, it would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour. Do we spend a thoughtful hour? It's especially, what? Day in contemplation of the life of Christ, which should be taken a point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing one. As we thus dwell upon his great sacrifice for us, our confidence in him will be more constant, our love will be quickening, and we shall be more deeply imbued with his spirit. Don't we want to be imbued with his spirit, friends? It says, if we would be saved at last, we must learn the lesson of penitence and humiliation at the foot of the cross. I'm sure before you came to Eden Valley, you already had your picture what Eden Valley was, right? And that's how we picture things. Before we go somewhere, then we start having all these imagination how the place was, how the people is. Guess what, friends? It says here, it says we should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing one. Friends, the more we spend the more we spend looking at the life of Christ, especially the last moments, guess what? Paul says the love of God constraining us. It will do nothing but pull us to him. Luke chapter 22, we're going to see amazing what Christ did for us, friend. That we be like, almost like David. What is man that you so mindful of it? Luke chapter 22, verse 41. Luke chapter 22, verse 41. It says, and he was withdrawn from them, and about a stone cast, and kneeled and prayed. It says, saying, my Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Friends, Christ was facing a struggle. He was facing something beyond human mind can picture. Then he prayed, and his prayer was prayer of submission. It says, Lord, it says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. It says, nevertheless, not my will be done. So what Christ was asking here, Father, if you can remove this cup, right, from me, but if the cross is the only way, I will go for it, friends. If the cross that's going to have you and myself in the kingdom of God, I will go for it, friends. The more we spend time at the cross, you will see the value of each soul, friends. It's the only way that we can see what sin did to our Savior, and also we can understand the value of each soul, friends. It says, the humanity of the Son of God tremble in that trying hour. Why? Because he couldn't picture heaven to be without you and without myself, right? The more we spend time looking, especially the last scene of Christ, you understand who you are in Christ. It continues. It says, in his decision, he will save man in any cost of himself. Friends, let this deep in your mind. He says he will save man in any cost. I don't know if we can say that to each other, right? Look into this. It says Jesus did not consider heaven a place to be. Why? Desire while we were lost. Can you imagine that? Jesus did not consider heaven a place to be. Desire while we were lost. That's amazing, friend. That just shows you how valued that you are. And when we look the life of Christ, especially the last scene, guess what? You will look everyone the same. Because guess what? At the cross, the ground is level, friends. And that's why we must look at the cross. As it says, Christ on the cross was the gospel. Hebrews chapter 12 is a story that we know, or a verse that we all know. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we use this verse a lot. It says, look unto Jesus. But where it says, look unto Jesus, right? It says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, right? Then it says, for the joy that was set before him, enduring the cross. He said, look at him, that he endured the cross, for it was a joy that was before him. What was that joy? There was a joy before him, right? Before we read this, when Christ was in the in Gethsemane, right? He was struggling with the sin of the world. Then it says, I think it's in Luke chapter 22, it says there was an angel that came, strengthened him. But what did the angel did? Did he give him a cup of tea? Or what did he do? Did you know what the angel came and told Christ? That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 24, it says, a pleasant word are as in honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bone. This is what the angel says. It says, the angel came not to take the cup of Christ's hand, but to strengthen him to drink it. With assurance of the Father's love, he came to give power to give human supplying. He point to him, to the open heavens, telling him of the soul that would be saved as the result of his suffering. He basically points like, look, the people that's going to be saved through your suffering, friends. He saw you and myself, and that gave him encouragement to keep going forward, friends. Christ came here with a mission. And he stuck with his mission. Matthew 27. We're going to go fast because time is wrapping up. Matthew chapter 27. We're going to see the power of the cross, friend. The more we spend at the cross, the more we see how much God loves us. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 45, it says, now from the sixth hour, there was a darkness over all the land, and the ninth hour. It says, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? It said, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Friends, that cry from Jesus, he was hidden from the Father's face. You know why? So we will never be hidden from our Father's face. He went to that bitter cry. It's for you and for myself. He didn't have to go through that, friends. Because he couldn't consider heaven a place to be if we were lost. The more we see, Jesus at the cross, the more we want to get closer to him. He says, I thirst. Friends, they give him the vinegar. Can you imagine that? Imagine you are thirsty. And we give a person a vinegar. Friends, the more we sin, guess what? We giving Jesus the vinegar to drink. It's this morning when I was thinking about it, it was really deep. The more we sin, he says, I thirst, we give him vinegar. Friends, the more we look to the life of the cross, guess what? It should help us to understand who we are in Christ. But you know, while he was in the cross, right, there was a comfort that came to him. Luke chapter 20, Luke chapter 23. This is the story of while he was at the cross. In the, we start with verse 39. It says, and one of the malefactors, this is one of the thieves that was on the cross, says, which are hanged right on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself. Can you imagine that? Like that temptation that he could have used his divine power to come out of the cross, but what is going to accomplish if he would have come from the cross? Then verse 41, it says, and we indeed, this is the other one, it said we indeed justly, for we receive the reward of our deeds, but this man done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Did you know that why everybody's mocking Christ? You know, he was there, even says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. But there came one soul that kind of brought comfort to Jesus, that somebody believed in him. It was the prayer of the thief. It says, to Jesus in his agony on the cross, there came a gleam of comfort. It was the prayer of the penitent thief. And in the midst of those that did not kind of believe in him, but there was one that brought comfort to him. Remember also when the woman with the issue of blood, right? That there was many people around him, but they were following him because they were going to, Jesus was on the way to go raise Lazarus' daughter, right? Then he felt somebody touch him. Right? It was a different touch. Even Peter was like, oh, I mean, all these people touching you, how do you know? It was a different touch, friend. Somebody believed in him. And that's why. The more we believe that Christ is our Savior, guess what? Bring comfort that someone believes in him, friends. John 20 is a story of Thomas here. Let's go there quick. John 20. This is when they came, they told Thomas they saw Christ. And verse 24, it says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. It says, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hand, the print of the nails, and put my finger unto the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So what did Thomas exactly want to see here? What he's asking. The evidence. Also, he wants to see the cross. Because that's what happened. It was the cross that got Jesus that. Then he says he would not believe until he see the cross. Friends. Then, verse 26 states, it says, and after 8 days, again his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. When he saw the hand, he recognized, that's my Lord and that's my God. Because he saw the cross, friends. This story right here, we ain't going to go there, but we are familiar with this, is the story of Nicodemus. Here's Christ had an interview with Nicodemus here. And he said, until the man be born again, and he was going on to this, Nicodemus couldn't understand. But he told him something. It says, as Moses lift up the serpent, so the Son of Man shall be lifted up. But did you know that even at that moment, it didn't even click to Nicodemus? Because he didn't even publicly acknowledge Christ. Right? But when Christ was at the cross, guess what, friends? It says, but while Nicodemus had not publicly acknowledged Christ, when at last Christ had been lifted up on the cross, Nicodemus remembered the words that he had spoken to him in the interview, in the night of interview on the mountain of Olives. It says, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It says, and he saw in Jesus the world's Redeemer. At the cross, that's when the scripture came to his mind. When Christ was lifted up at the cross, friends. This is another story. We ain't going to go today, but I'm going to give you just the background. This is when Christ told the three disciples to the mountain. They saw Elijah and Moses. So, and they'd heard the voice of God when it says, hear him. And they was kind of like scared, right? Then you come to the verse, I think in verse 8, it says, Jesus came and touched them. It says, and they got up and they saw no man but Jesus only. But did you know that just Jesus only gave these disciples power, especially in the early church, right? Just Jesus only. Then you go into Acts chapter 2, that you will ask where they were preaching, right? That so many souls that baptized, right? Then they was preaching Christ crucified, right? Genesis chapter 22, right? This is a story that we'll know, but we're going to try to look in a different perspective. I like to look at things in different perspective. And I will share with this a lot with the guests, and you hear this word a lot, different perspective. I like to look at the Bible in different perspective. Just like when Zacchaeus went to the tree to climb to see Christ. Guess what? He was trying to see Jesus in different perspective because he couldn't see because it was crowded. So he had to climb and see Jesus in different perspective. And I also mentioned to them that coming to Eden Valley, you come in here to see Jesus in a different perspective, friend. You climb in that tree. And guess what? All of us is that tree for others to be able to see Christ. So Genesis chapter 22, you know, and verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things, and God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, your only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering up on one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. So you know this story here. Then we go into verse 7, right? Then Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamp of offering? Friends, we need the fire, right? We need the wood. These things are essential. And if you look what the wood stand for in the Bible, it looked almost like expense. If you look on Revelation chapter 18, then you look on fire, what it stand for, right? But guess what? You can have the wood, you can have the fire, but if you don't have the lamp of God, guess what? It's in vain, right? He says, hey, we have the wood, right? It's good to have a good looking church, good, all of that. Then you have the enthusiasm, like it was John, they said, oh, we want to call a fire from heaven. So you have that. And also, I think it was Wesley that says, it says, catch on fire that people will come for miles and see you burning. So you see fire represents enthusiasm. But without the lamp of God, guess what? It's nothing, friends. We must have the lamp of God. This is what the the scripture that I mean the quote that I was trying to refer, but it was on another. But now this is my thing that I was contemplate on it. We read this, right? It says affliction shall not rise up the second time, right? Praise God for that. But why it will not rise the second time? Because we're gonna have a free will of choice. We ain't gonna be like a robot, right? But why it will not rise the second time? What's the difference? I heard something. We remember, yes. Friends, listen to this powerful, amazing quote here that if this is, if the affliction will not rise a second time, it should help us to consider why it will not rise a second time. Listen to this. The Bible says the Bible says in John chapter 19 verse 30, it says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Did you know that word man is in italic? You know why it's in italic? Because it was never there. So that means it says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all to me. Not only this word, but also the unfallen world, right? But listen to this. It is through the efficacy of the cross that the angels of heaven are guarding for my apostasy. Did you catch that? It is through the efficacy of the cross that the angels of heaven are guarded from apostasy. Without the cross, there will be no more secure against evil. Praise God for the cross, friends. It says, then were the angels before the fall of Satan. It says, angelic imperfection fell in heaven. Human perfection fell in Eden. It says, the plan of salvation making manifest the justice and love of God. Provide an eternal. Praise God for the cross, friend. You know why? Because we have eternal safeguard. It says, against defection in our fallen world. It said, the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary is our only hope in this world, and it will be our theme in the world to come. Praise God for the cross, friend. That's why if the affliction should not be arrived the second time, that we should go back to the cross. If that is going to be our eternal safeguard, why don't we spend time more at the cross? That's why the Bible says, if I be lifted up, Christ, not me, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Christ needs to be lifted up, right? And that's what we understand, who we are in Christ, what it's our value, and what sin did to our Savior, friends. We have to look at the cross, spend time at the cross. The more we see that he says, I thirst, then they give vinegar. And the more that we sin, guess what? We've given him the vinegar, friend. Guess what? After that, he said, it is finished. That's why that word is compact with promise. That word, it is finished. John 12:32 states that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But guess what? When Christ cried out, it is finished, the unfallen world were made secure. Praise God, right? Praise God that we are secure by His love, by what He did on the cross for us, friend. And that's why my encouragement is to spend time at the cross. Because the more we spend time at the cross, guess what? Paul says, it will constrain us. It says the love of God will constrain in us. That's why Paul couldn't even understand, like, the love of God. It says it passeth all knowledge. When David says, look at the moon and the star, it says, what is man that thou so mindful of it? John, when he was trying to write the love of God, he doesn't know what to say. He says, behold, what man of love is this, that we shall be called the Son of God. Friends, Christ must be lifted up. It is when we show to the world what Christ did for us on the cross. We don't deserve it, friends. He didn't deserve it to go through the cross. Right? Even when we there with mocking. But guess what? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. The more we go there, it's a love that our mind cannot comprehend. It's love that suffered long, patient. That's the only way that we can understand what true love is, friend. It does not seek His own. So the more we point people to cross, the more we point people to Jesus. So I pray that as we continue going, like, let's meditate. This is, we just only just going through the surface, friend. Guess what? It's going to be our study for eternity. So, me just 20 minutes explaining the cross, that nothing. Imagine studying this for eternity, what He did for us. Can we, because heaven start here. Let's dig deep what Christ did for you. Because the more you study the cross, the more you see the love for you that God has, and the more you want to go save others, the more you want to go others, the more that you want to let others to be lost, because Christ came to save. That one is right there on the street begging for a piece of bread. Christ, look at them. Like I said, at the cross, the ground is level, friends. We all the same at the cross. And that's why one thing I always tell people, we don't understand what it means to be created in the image of God. That it made our Creator to die for us. Do we understand? We don't, because in Romans 8:18, right? It says that the suffering of this present time is not compared to the glory that should be revealed in us. It's not, friends. We don't understand. We have to accept. We cannot explain the love of God, but we accept it that others may be able to see. When someone come to us and recognize that even through our suffering, that we still love them, and they can ask a question. Why? As Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ that is living in me. Friends, this is what the world is lacking. The revelation of Jesus Christ. They need to see the way. They need to see the truth. And they need to see the life. So God called each one of us to be that light.